Welcome to A Course in Miracles.
You know, whether you're on any spiritual path, you're A Course in Miracles, you're on any of these self-help path even, or a spiritual awakening path, or there is a commonality among all these things. And, of course, it's you, right? But the particular aspect of you that we're going to highlight tonight, it's the same in all these practices where you are going to help yourself. You're taking some responsibility, and you know it, or the, you know, the self-help program is saying, persistence, 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 you know, whatever it is. A Course in Miracles is no different. This is about you. It's a big book with lots of words in it, but it points back at you every page. Points back at you. So, there is a type of surrender that comes. At first, when you start Course in Miracles, and it works this way too, you look at it as the guide, and you should, and that it's going to give you something you don't know, and it will. And to help you through dark times, to help you through difficult thinking, to give you some of the biggest answers to the baddest questions there are in this book, no doubt. That's what I found about it. Then as you get your life back on and you start smiling some more, you want more, you want joy. And you go back to the book and it says, there is more. Keep going. A type of surrender occurs eventually. And where does it occur? You know, for most people, it's probably year three, I'm thinking. But if you can stay with the book for 3 years and get your ego out of the way, if you can get all your old learning, set it aside a bit, about 3 years of studying this book, maybe you've done the whole workbook once or twice, and it's been in your life calming you down for 3 years. There is a type of optimism that hits you that says, I could actually get more from doing the same thing, but I know it's me that's been holding back. I say there's a type of surrender that occurs with, it's about 3 years with this book, where you start to get a huge benefit, personal huge benefit of seeing yourself. Seeing yourself through its eyes. Huge benefit occurs, a shift. It doesn't let that theme go. Once you acknowledge your part in this, the ego usually jumps back in and says, I'm really important. The Course even says there's a special place for you in God's plan for salvation, and it calls it special. Ego picks that up and says, I knew I was important. All that is on the way. On the way to delivering back to you your power that was given you in your creation. A type of surrender occurs when you let the book speak for you without feeling that you're losing something. A little humility comes in, but it's gladly, because you're getting happier, more peaceful, more joyous and free the more you work it. So, it's not a bad thing. One of the tools of this book, and this is very hard for the ego to accept, is that you would see yourself, right? We just talked about that. You would see yourself in the other. it's a whole nother level of awakening. It's a whole nother level of self-awakening. You don't start with that. And you'll find yourself arguing with the book in the early days. But there's so many other good things, you just flip the page and keep reading. And you should. If you run into a hard paragraph, just go. Just turn it. Go to the next paragraph, go to the next page, keep going. This is not for you right now. Either you're beyond it, or you haven't got there yet. But if it bothers you, after you look at it, of course, just go on. So, it's kind of a high thing, but you know what? There's nothing about A Course in Miracles that is designed to be easy. If this is designed to be simple, I mean, how many books that say it will actually heal you, change your identity? How many books say we're going to change your identity from wrong to right? We're going to change you back to the way you were created by something you'll feel comfortable calling God after a while. That's what we're going to do. How many books claim that and give you 365 lessons to walk you through it day by day, hour by hour, or minute by minute if necessary? Some of them it's necessary. How many books claim that? That's what makes it simple. Because it's spelled out. You come here on Thursday, we'll spend a whole hour and a half on a single paragraph. We'll open it up and we'll look at it and we'll show you where it's supported elsewhere, and you get comfortable. There's lots of support on the internet now. There's videos, there's books. By the way, I love some great books. I've recommended a lot of them, but there's nothing like the book itself. There's nothing like just reading the book itself. Oh my God. So it's right here. That's what makes it simple. I didn't say easy, but A Course in Miracles, for the job that it's doing, changing your identity from a mistaken identity of small, guilty, hungry, lonely, tired, worthless, limited, all on and on and on, from that to being free, to being eternal, to being connected to the source of all, to actually being an extension of the power that is creation itself. No, you're not created. You are an extension of the Creator. That's a promotion. But that's where this goes, of course. If all is one, there isn't a Creator and a created, right? There will be two. That's duality, plurality, we're back in the world. This book is radical spirituality, if it can do that. That's a tall order. That's not one 220-page book. You know, self-help book, find on the shelf. One of the ways this book does it is ask you to start to surrender your aloneness. Your aloneness. That's you against everything else. Your private world against everything else. One of the ways it does that is with you seeing yourself in the other. It's one of the tools it uses. It's very powerful. It's very difficult. Very difficult. But wow, if you get it, off you go. If you get it, if you can actually, the most important part of you is in another, somehow, some way, you are lifted out of being alone. It's huge. If you can grab a hold of that train while it's moving, you will no longer be dead still in your little private hell. The truth is, you can't be alone. The world says, you were born alone, you'll die alone. Spirit says, ha ha, what? You made up this idea of alone because you made up the idea of multiples. You don't even know what it means anymore to love. You've let go of being a creator, and now you are a created, hanging out to see what happens next, says this book. It's like, wow, there's no need to delay joy. That's a quote from the book, one of my favorite sentences. There is no need to delay joy, it says. Thank you. How do I get there? One of the ways it does it is it asks you to open your mind in a way that's not natural. It asks you to open your mind that there is the most important part of you is also in another. That you could actually see yourself in another. Now, that would be easy if we just held up a picture of, you know, Dalai Lama, Mother Teresa, and said, that's the other that you are. No, that's not what this book does, is it? That would be too easy and the ego get all over it and we could exclude. No. So there goes the fun part of the meeting, right? The real benefit is for you to find the most important part of yourself. I can't stress those words enough, you know? The most important part of yourself. In another person with whom you're having trouble. A problem person. That's the fast way. And if you're willing to do that work, which this prescribes you do and will walk you through it, if you can take that difficult, steep path, the ego cannot hang on. You know what I mean? The ego can't hang on. Because the ego is all about being a victim. The ego is all about, he's the problem and I'm good and they're bad.
So all about judgment, then.
Yes. Judgment will keep the ego safe. So, for the next few minutes, I'd like you to just use a word to summarize all that. And it is mirror. Think about, spiritually speaking, right? Think about, what does it mean? How would I use this term, mirror, in all that I've just discussed? Let's think about that for a bit. What would it mean that you would see yourself in another? A mirror is held before you. You may as well go to town with this one. Go ahead and pick out somebody in your life that you don't particularly like and you're glad they're not in this room right now. Yep, that one will do. Just bring them into your mind. They sure look different from you. Look in their eye, this person. Look for even the smallest amount of light, a little glint or glimmer in their eye. Maybe you've never noticed it before. Maybe it was there when you met them. Find it. See it. There's many things now that you do not have in common with that person. That's part of why they're a problem. Maybe all of why they're a problem, sure. But look in their eye. Look past all the things they've said and they've done. Just for a moment. What are you looking at now? Just pick one word or one phrase. When you strip away all the things they've said and they've done that made the problem, just the essence of what you're looking at. Just give me a word or a phrase of something that you see now.
You want that?
Yeah. Something that you see behind all the problems that you share with this person. Where is the mirror aspect? What is it in them that you equally see in yourself? Now that you put aside all the troubles, and you're looking at just the glint in their eye, a little spark of life in there. Surely there's something that you share with that person. Can be something very small. That's just fine. Something very simple. That's fine. You know it's there. Admit it. Pick one. Pick an aspect of that person that you share. This is really important. You can break down a barrier that you may have held on for your entire life. I don't mean you're going to love this person all of a sudden. Not at all. Just pick one little thing where you join. Chris?
So this person is my roommate, and we are in a relationship for a long time, and we're not currently in a relationship, and I still love her, so it's hard because I can't really move on, but, the glint in her eyes, she has big, beautiful, dark brown eyes, and we share a yard of animals. So I remember the look that she gave me once. I had just come in from taking care of the animals that night, and she looked at me, and there was a glint in her eyes, and she was saying thank you, and I was saying it's okay, and I think the thing I saw deep in her was that we both share the love for the animals.
Yes. You equally share and would equally trust her to take care of the animal as she would equally trust you. You both can handle feeding it, taking it to the vet, whatever it is, it'll be done right. You don't have to doubt. There's no doubt that she would actually care the same way you would care. Your care is in her. Her care is in you. And she said, wow, is that animal taken care of? Chris is on the job. And you got the same. Beautiful. That's fair. Nice. David, what's something you share with this person?
Well, when you're close to somebody, you can feel this love that everybody has. And the parts that's the same is that when you look at it, when you mention the mirror, how things reflect, and I can see that you see this love and this fear goes back and forth in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the love part, when you go at that point, that is like easy. I mean, that's just like so, it can be very deep and very good. And at some point, someone's going to, it's that love can scare shit out of people. Mm-hmm. So basically, what I was really noticing there is, you know, when you're talking about the mirror, is that the fear, when you look at people that way, it's getting down to the basics. You got love and you got the fear. Fear pops in, and it just like, and it's, you might think it's the same, in a way it's the same fear, but he had to express this, that's the illusion part, expressed in so many different ways that, you know, but that love is there. You can notice it if you start to look right. When you were doing this exercise, I was able to actually see that love there, but, and then notice that.
And the vacuous, the whole, when the love is not there, the whole, which we call fear, so when love
that,
or fear.
And that, I've been reading about, and that fear is, I mean, people will go, and no matter who the person is, everybody can only go so far.
Yep.
And you have a limit.
Yep.
So when you know, and if you push anybody too far, that they're going to go so far, they're only ready for what they're ready for. That's why this whole thing is so slow.
And then the love that could be there or was there switches over to the only alternative, the call for love.
Yeah.
Which might have four-letter words in it, might have anger in the face, it might have slamming doors. It's still a call for love, according to this book, right? But it's now the opposite. We call the opposite of love is fear. And it often looks like attack and anger.
Yeah.
It manifests itself that way.
And it's becoming obvious.
But we all got it, right? You have that.
Yeah. And so what I've been noticing, the only way, when I first look at, you don't attack somebody.
Yeah.
You can't attack with it. And using the ego mind, you can, well, that doesn't make sense. But when as you go along, you realize, oh, wow.
Yeah.
They say the meek will inherit the earth.
Yeah.
That's what that statement means, is that if you can respond to a person with no attack whatsoever, they will have, they can't, at some point they cannot, they're going to attack back in. No,
right. But you're recognizing.
Actually won't attack back.
But you're recognizing.
If you keep at it.
That what looks like anger and attack, and you understand that because now you can see that.
Yeah.
This book has helped you see the fear.
It's when those attacks are given, you start recognizing them as a call for love.
It's really a call for love.
Going, whoa.
She wishes.
That's what they're really doing.
She'd rather smile.
Yeah.
You'd rather smile.
And that's all you got to do. If someone does that, if you turn around, smile, and be nice back,
yes,
it stops.
But you know what? I love what you said. You can only go so far.
Yeah.
And when you can no longer afford to smile, you can no longer afford to try, you can no longer afford to be patient, you can no longer afford to be gentle, you can no longer afford to be tolerant, there's only one other alternative, isn't there? And that happens.
Yeah.
Right? And we understand. We understand. This book, thank God, makes it really simple for us to understand that it's still love, you just can't see it. It's a call for love now. For what's been missing. You can't, not close enough to the warmth of love, so you're going to get the cold of fear now. But I wish it was warm too. Good. Kim, what's an aspect you share with this person?
I couldn't think of one individual person because I just am not there right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I have two great teachers in my life right now, and I'm watching them mirror each other, and they have hurt each other, and there's no way to explain, there's no way to try to get them to think of a different way of looking at the situation other than this person hurt me.
Yes.
I watch myself all the time, and I really am sensitive to when I do something like it can be anything. It can be a simple, small little judgment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really sensitive to the feeling of separation that it creates inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I have that, then I can tell when I am projecting that on another person. And the little things that they do tend to hurt me or bother me more. When I don't have that, I don't see it. And so they could say anything to me, and I'm probably not, it's going to go right over my head. I'm not even going to see it the way I normally would see it.
Wow, so we get sensitive now with judgment.
Yeah, because and I try, because I don't want, it's a high not to have that, you know, so I really try to practice.
It's a high not to have
I practice what I...
Life is easier.
How I see things and what I comes out of my mouth and, you know, the normal everyday habits that we do, I really try
life
to be
is more
cognizant.
Loving
yeah.
to not have this judgment, especially when it's a snap.
Right.
Life is more loving and comfortable and tolerant. And yet when it goes, like these two people, their constant judgment... And the book is written that they're each have attacked each other.
I can see it as clear as day, and I keep trying to tell them, you guys don't know how good this is. It really is a good thing that's happening. And they're like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
This person hurt me. I go, So it you can't explain it. It doesn't, there's no words to try to help them through it. They have to find their own way.
Yes. But you understand exactly what they're doing because you've been there. Mm-hmm. There's compassion to boot, because you can see what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Good, good. Sharon, what do you share with this ass holy one in your life?
It gets a laugh.
Oh, it gets a laugh.
At first, I just got a little growl. That's the elegant thing.
That's honest.
I'll be honest.
You're doing the job.
After you started talking, it's like, the only thing I can think of, the only thing is I can see just a glimmer of compassion.
Huh.
Just like, and the only thing I can say is, okay, they're also a carbon-based life form. That's it. That's it.
You're giving a little credit.
That's it.
All right, so they're a carbon-based life form.
Okay, and work with that.
That's what I got. So, so they get a little bit of compassion. So we'll work with that.
Carbon-based life form has to eat. After a while,
I don't get that either. They just get a carbon-based life form.
No, it's true, right? You have to admit this, Sharon. They get hungry like you get hungry. If you let them go long enough that they don't get to eat, after a while, they're like, oh, I gotta eat. I'm so hungry.
I don't care.
Well, so don't ask you to care.
Okay, so if I can find a common area, I don't have to hang with them, right?
And let's say, so you got the hunger thing, maybe, but now they've been looking for food for so long, they skipped sleeping. Because they were too hungry to sleep. Carbon-based life forms do this. They will. They need to eat. And now they've lost sleep too, and they're irritable. Right? Wouldn't this person get irritable?
Wouldn't notice.
Would you get irritable?
Of course I would. Yeah.
That's enough. Of course you would. They are already irritable because that's how they are all the time, according to you. Right?
It's like the mirror concept you mentioned.
It's the mirror concept being shown. When the light of hunger and sleep deprivation is on them, they look just like you.
Okay. So any commonality?
Any commonality.
Okay.
I'm just looking for a crack in the door. I'm not actually looking for the truth. Because the truth is a carbon-based life form. That's the truth. We can't argue with that. I'm just throwing another one on there. So is hunger. So is tired.
Okay.
And we put the light of those on there, you two start to look really similar. As you're scrounging for food, you just want to lay down anywhere where it's quiet. God, 5 minutes would be good. You both would say that equally.
I'll give you that.
All right. Start. Mark, what's something you're calling?
Well, let's see. Thinking about my brother, and, you know, I love him. We have a lot of we have the same parents. Grew up in the same house. I don't know, maybe 15 years ago, like, there started to be he started to becoming more distant.
Yes.
We used to like hang out a couple times a week at one point. He lives like, you know, a couple miles away from me.
Yeah.
And I asked him, you know, what was going on, and he said that he didn't know what I was talking about. And now we only see each other like maybe once a month or once every other month. He still doesn't know what I'm talking about. So, and then on top of it, he's judgmental, arrogant.
Mm, yeah.
And so I kind of relate to what Kim was saying in that, you know, because of his arrogance and his tendency to be judgmental, and the fact that we're don't hang out as much, it's like, you know, something's wrong. What is it? You know, and he's being judgmental, and, you know, there's something there, but he won't say what, you know. It's like, so, but underneath that, you know, I still have love for him, you know. Mm. So, and so if I just focused on that, you know, none of that other stuff would matter as much.
Although, the first thing you said is you both had the same parents.
Yeah.
Which is funny, but it's also true.
It's true. Yeah.
And if you go back, if you reel back the years a bit, you guys start to get to be the same size. You start to be in the same room.
Yeah.
You're sharing clothes.
Right.
You guys have a lot in common there that nobody can change.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, I mean, I accept the fact that the relationship's different.
Yeah.
You know, it's different. It's just the way it is.
Yes.
And I still love him.
You still love him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Jeff, what's something you have in common with this difficult person in your life?
I'm really not finding the words that I want. I'm just going to pass.
You certainly.
Thank you.
Yeah. I would like to use Jeff as an example because we all feel the same way. Jeff's head was going like this. No, 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 no.
Maybe just don't want to look at it. I don't know.
Thank you for that. Because we all have that with this difficult person in our life.
Don't have anything to add.
Yeah. Julie, what's behind the scenes?
But it doesn't all just have to be a difficult person.
Yes.
You can have somebody that you get along with, and then every once in a while you don't.
Yes.
So, you know, you have difficult moments.
Yes.
And in those moments, you know, contain all the stuff that we're talking about.
It's true. It's true. And it also works with somebody you get along with great, and you have so many things in common, and you love seeing yourself in that person.
Yeah.
It's the same lesson. It just doesn't have as much leverage as taking the ass holy one.
Yeah.
That will help you wake up. But you can use the holy one too, if you want to.
Yeah, because we tend to like write off those people.
We write them off.
Yeah.
Well, thank
the holy
you.
One falls short of your expectation.
Julie, what's something in common you have with this person?
I can't quite find the right words either, but I think what I was feeling was kind of around the call for love piece. So I could see the first I could see the fear.
Yes.
And I could recognize that that was also like the same fear, like, you know, this whether it's wanting to be understood or wanting to be appreciated or wanting to not be controlled or whatever it is.
Yes.
There's like this fear there, and then I could see beyond that really it was just we shared the idea of lack.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly.
And that lack is an illusion that
there
we both
go.
Just want to wake up from.
Yep. Stand you two in the light of lack look very much the same. They have the same weakness around it, same preoccupation with it. Very good. Yes, it's a reflection of you. Good. Good. Kenny, what's something that you share with this difficult person?
Well, I was watching and I was judging her. And we had an agreement. So, it's my lack of trust in her that just keep her agreement. So I have that in myself, that judge myself because I don't trust myself.
Yes.
It takes a while to pick up the tools that I got to not shame myself for judging.
Yes.
Lack of trust.
There's a big circle going on there, Kenny.
Yeah.
The big, you look at her and then you see yourself as somebody she'd be willing not to keep the agreement with. Mm-hmm. You decided that. There's a big circle going on there. And then if she didn't keep the agreement, you already think you know why she wouldn't. Made that up too.
Yeah.
So now when you stand and you look at her, you're seeing yourself and you're not, you're making it up. Right? You're not seeing her. You're really only seeing yourself.
Right. Yeah.
How's it working for you?
Not too good on that one, no.
Okay.
Yeah. I gotta find, I haven't been able to laugh about it yet.
Okay, that's fine. This is the beginning.
Yeah.
Beginnings to see the fantasy. I said fantasy, not illusion. I said fantasy. Mm-hmm. Part of this. You know, fantasy is something that we think of and we kind of dream about. A fantasy. Well, what's the difference between a fantasy and a nightmare? Aren't you thinking of the nightmare? Aren't you looking at the possibility of this thing going wrong? Aren't you thinking of the fantasy of something good and dreaming it will go right? So it's both fantasies, which would block you from accepting the truth and being able to rely on it. You come back to the present, find much better soil for the relationship and for you.
And then when she comes through after a few days, it's like, shit.
Ah, what a big waste! Yeah. Good. That's busting
so
the ego.
So waiting for that one, too.
Let her come through now.
Yeah.
And it's never the, you're never upset for the reason you think. Mm. Lesson number 5, I think. Yeah. Okay. Carol, what's something that you have in common with this difficult person?
Well, I first thought that I was going to pass, also like Jeff, and then I'm not putting you down for that, Jeff. I'm just saying I was going to do the same thing.
I thought I was going to do it, Jeff, but then.
Nothing personal. Just say pass. Just pass.
I think I'll pass in solidarity with Jeff. No problem.
Anyway, yeah, I don't. Because in my whole idea of the way I want to live, I don't want to have anybody with the kind of relationship I have with this person.
Yes.
And she's the mother of my grandchildren. And I don't have a relationship with her anymore. I mean, one where we're interacting. Mm-hmm. Because they're divorced. But I really put so much care into trying to love her so much. Mm-hmm. And the more I tried that over the years,
yes,
the more it would just be something mean coming back, or sincerely, a way of knowing ways that would hurt me would happen.
Yes.
So it just got frustrating because it was something I never seemed to be able to do anything about.
Yep, the world cooks them up just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And what I have come up with is, even though I realize that the kids are fabulous, truly fabulous four kids, a gift to the world, every one of them, from age 13 to 21 now, two boys and two girls. So she's had a part in that. So even
what do you have in common with her?
Well, that she loves the kids too. So that's all I could, that's what I could come up
with. She really does. Oh, is that true? She loves the kids?
Yes.
Yes. Took time to raise them, takes time out to for the schooling and to make sure they're dressed right and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And puts aside her, takes her out, time out of her time, gives that up for the kids from time to time, maybe even a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From the heart.
Yeah. So.
Like you would.
I've really got to give her credit also for,
In fact, maybe the two of you side by side in the light of the kids would equally do the effort to try to help the kid get the math problem done or get over that the crying from school. You rush and find out what went wrong at school today.
Yeah.
How can I help? Just like with the dogs.
Yeah.
How can I help? You really mean it. She really means it. She really means it. That's true. There's all this other stuff. Put that aside for a minute.
Yeah.
In the light of those kids, you guys are really similar.
Yeah, that's really true there.
Good. Good.
I have a great time with all those kids and she has to have been a part of it somehow.
She has to. You know it's true. Look at that. Just hold that for a moment. Because it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. New girl, I forgot your name.
Teresa. Yeah, well, what we have in common is we both like people.
Yeah.
And she's my neighbor.
Uh-huh.
And I've been dealing with this for 10 years, and I see her every day, and she pretends like I don't exist.
Yeah. The world cooks them up just like that.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
But she likes people.
Well, yeah. So where I get hooked into her is she has a lot of friends, and I guess I'm jealous.
Oh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So that's interesting.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah. But I don't know what to do. I mean, I could confront her, but I don't think that'd be anything.
Well, we'll just stick with that. She likes people and a lot of friends, and so do you. You would love to have as many or more even than she.
Maybe that's
because it's fun. People are fun. Yeah. People are life to her and to you. And in the light of a bunch of people, you guys look the same. You're interacting and you're helping each other and helping the people, and you would just make the crowd happy if you possibly could. And happy with you. And so would she. Opens her home. She has a little book of people she calls and says, can I help somehow? Whatever it is she does that shows that she likes people, so would you. That's so innocent that way. It's just true, that's all. Well, what's something you have in common with this assholey person?
Well, one of my neighbors, her name is Lorraine. One day, months ago, I accused her of lying about a situation.
Yes.
And I stopped talking to her. And I would intentionally avoid her.
Yes.
But in a way that I acted as if I were guilty.
Hmm.
I wouldn't look at her as if I were the guilty person.
Hmm.
And, she's in my face all the time. And she has this glint in her eye. And she laughs at me because she knows me, in terms of I accused her of lying, and she knows that that is a judgment of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was judging myself when I saw her. When I accused her, I was judging myself, and she knows that.
Mm-hmm.
And she's tormenting me every day on my mind.
Yes. Yes.
It's brutal, and I'm going to give it up. And it's not easy, to admit that maybe I was wrong.
Yeah. Like she can admit with no problem you were wrong. She sounds like she's admitting in that glint in her eye.
She doesn't have to admit anything. All she has to do is make me admit that I was wrong.
Yeah. This is what you see, though.
Yeah.
You see her freedom over something that's tormenting you.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd like to be free, too.
Mm-hmm.
You'd like to be free. You'd like to smile. Mm-hmm. You'd like to laugh over this. She's laughing over it.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. You have that in common. Yeah. Good. Donna, what's something that you can see in this person that you actually share?
Well, I was kind of curious to listen to everybody else because I'm curious about myself because I thought maybe I really avoided. I was thinking, oh, there's that person. Maybe I was avoiding going deeper into the people that I actually encounter more often.
Mm-hmm.
So I got more fascinated with the idea of looking in somebody's eye.
Uh-huh.
The glint in their eye. I took that aspect. And the person I picked has put herself in the role, because she's on the management committee in the mobile home park where I live,
mm-hmm.
of being a substitute plumber and inspecting this project that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a couple encounters with her, including today.
Mm-hmm.
And I, when I looked in her eye, I, you know, tears came to my eyes because I thought, you know, really seeing through the eyes of your heart, nothing, no story can survive that.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And I, you know, I was really struck with that, so it seemed easier because I don't really know her outside of these encounters around the plumbing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, then, you know, we're talking something about where the fear comes in.
Mm-hmm.
The fear of being able to see with those eyes and what that would be like to live that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw a mirror and I was looking at myself and I thought, wow, it's harder to look in my eyes and with the eyes of love.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really struck by that also. And, you know, how that, I mean, I haven't explored that enough, but how the fear, you know, how the judgment of myself or all these things are still residing there. I'm not sure what the block is.
Mm-hmm.
But no story can withstand the eyes of love. No story can stand up to the eyes of love. The story will stand up to the eyes of fear. And once the fear surfaces, it runs the whole relationship. Yeah. And so you can see in her that were the love to surface, you would understand her. You won't understand that these two people are going at it head to head. Each of them is hanging on to their loss, their lack. Each of them is hanging on to that fear, so it's ruining the relationship. If you turn the lack upside down and you see what is it you wish you had, it'd be the same thing. You get to the bottom of it. You can share that. Bridget, what's something you share with this person you're having difficulty with?
probably the ego.
Huh?
Ego and fear. And one minute we have a lot of things in common, and the next minute we don't have anything in common.
Yeah.
Spiritual ego.
Uh-huh.
And how much she goes on. She goes on and on and on about all her great things that she does. And it's just like, and I listen, and I listen, and I listen, and then it's like... okay, bye. And it's like, what did I do? Well, I rode my horse today, bye. And then it's just like...
Oh, excuse me, will you raise your hand if you know somebody like this in your life? Anybody else have somebody like this in your life? I just want her to know she's not alone. All right, continue. What do you have in common with this woman?
Well, I think we're both on a spiritual path.
Okay.
She's gone, I don't know, I guess I've gone more Course in Miracles, where she's gone more...
When she has you on the phone, and she is going on and on and on and on and on, and then she says, enough about me, what do you think about me? On and on and on and on, here's some things you could think about me, because did you know I did this yesterday? You're like, oh my God, what's driving that?
Hey, ego.
Ego? Yeah, okay. Ego. And she wants to get what out of this huge 20-minute discussion, all one-sided?
More acknowledgement.
So, what's some acknowledgement? Do you like acknowledgement? Some. After all, I mean, you did win the Gymkhana. And it seems like she would care if only you could tell her.
Well, see, she didn't have anything to do with horses. That was, that was like, we don't have things in common anymore. And I'm like, kind of got cut off there because I do horses and I don't do psychic readings. I don't do that anymore. You know, it's just shifted.
Okay. But she looks for strength from spiritual pursuit, from a spiritual awakening. She looks for strength.
Hers.
She does, yeah. And you do too, for you. So in the light of having a spiritual awakening for strength in this world, you two look a lot alike.
And it doesn't matter who the spiritual...
Whole different sources.
The God, yeah,
whole different sources.
Very different sources.
Yes.
So we don't talk about that anymore.
Yep. And yet underneath it, it's the same. You don't talk about it because it's so different. And yet... So each is looking for something beyond and invisible that can somehow reconcile her whole life. And so are you. Honestly, that's true. You two are the same. Good.
Yeah. No, John.
I know, right? Yeah, I know. Well, we're getting to that. We'll get to that. Brother John, what's something you have in common with this difficult person?
Well, she stole my answer. It's all about ego. And it's a good thing. I mean, I spoke about this before, I think. I mentioned that this drunken lady at my house, her hobby is drinking.
Okay.
And 3-4 times a week getting drunk. And she kind of comes around where I live a little bit, smokes her cigarettes.
Yep.
And... shines her flashlight at night in my room.
That's annoying. It's a little annoying.
Very annoying.
It would stop if it was me.
But it's still like I feel affronted. So that's my ego speaking.
Yep.
But the good news, and of course she takes some sort of pleasure in irritating me.
Yeah.
And
you understand that.
I know it, but see, what I'm doing. I'm trying to get to the good news. I'm using the course principles to try to resolve this in my mind. To get this thing resolved. So using the principles, you got to use the course principles to make them real, to change your life. You have to use the lessons.
Yep.
And so. So I know there's no justification for anger, I'm looking at this as a forgiveness opportunity.
Yes.
Just another forgiveness opportunity, thanks to Gary Renard and his books.
Yep.
Which are beautiful handbooks to the course.
That's what this is. She has now become...
And I know I put her there in my life.
She's the most useful teacher you know.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's easy when you come here, chat with me.
I'm trying to get that.
Yeah, that's why I even say this is this maneuver we're talking about. For you to be able to see in her something that you honestly share.
Yeah, and of course it's all about ego. Because, the only reason she would, attempt to tease me, you might say.
Yeah, yeah.
Would be to she could derive a certain pleasure and... If she feels bad about her own life in certain areas, this is a way to make her ego feel good.
She
make
can
her feel
better.
Sort of superiority.
She make you feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
We understand that.
And so my ego says, "Wait a minute, this isn't right." Nobody can supposed to outdo me. Of course, it happened.
Yes. Yes.
And so this is a good way to understand forgiveness for me.
Oh yeah.
I'm trying to get there.
Oh yeah.
And so what I'm doing is I'm giving this to our old friend, the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And more than a friend, it's our eternal guidance.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm trying. This is a good spin. Is all.
She's got the same problem to solve that you do. Mm-hmm. Ego.
Yeah.
It's driving her to do what she does, and your ego's driving you to do what you do.
Right.
You guys have the same problem to solve. It looks different. It'll come different sort.
Yeah.
Different background, right?
Right. But
same with your brother. You know, you guys were the same, and then you grew apart. And now he's got his issues in his life, and he sees things with judgments that you don't get anymore. He's got hesitancies, and you got yours, and the divide has occurred. But you got the same problem to solve. Yeah.
So it's just really comes to the point where I'm just letting it go. You know, and I'm just gonna have faith.
Well, isn't that what you're teaching us from time to time with the Course in Miracles and the ego? The ego disappears when you let it go. Mm-hmm. Not when you tame it. Not when you teach it how to behave. That's not how you get rid of the ego.
So I'm all about it as an opportunity.
Good.
And good. I might feel like crazy today, but this is just a process.
Sure.
It's going to... All things work out to redound to the good.
She is your teacher, you are hers.
Mm-hmm. So, I just... we're all looking for peace. That's what we have our...
The ego's in the way.
Yeah. And it's our common goal. You don't realize it.
That's right. And if you're not feeling at peace, it's because you are listening to your ego too much.
Thank you.
Good. Robert, what's something you share with this difficult person in your life? Anything at all?
Oh, a lot of things.
Oh.
I think fear, which turns into anger.
Yes.
Regret.
Yes, regret. How honest is that?
And probably the ego.
Yep. Aren't we all stuck with regret? You know, when the past happens and then it happened, you can't go back and change it.
No.
It's just, you're just dealing with something you can't go back and change. Have some compassion for this poor son of a beep.
It's really hard. This is my a woman I was in a relationship in for 3 years.
And mm-hmm.
It didn't end very good.
Yeah.
And she still wants to be friends, and I'm just like, I just can't do it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
She worked me over pretty good.
Yep. Yep.
If I can speak frankly, she kicked me in the balls, and then when I was on the ground, she kicked me in the face.
Yeah. Jesus.
And then I'm like,
yeah.
I let her.
Yep.
It was my fault. I let her do it.
She had.
And now she keeps texting me saying, oh, well, I just want to be friends. And I'm like,
yep.
And I don't even answer her anymore.
She had a big issue in her life at the time when she was difficult with you, kicked you in the balls. She had something in her life that just wasn't right. She was seeing things the wrong way or whatever, but love was not happening.
And I wasn't the greatest.
Forget about your part in it.
I look back and I'm like, I could have been.
Yeah. That's a big story, and that's probably true.
A lot of guilt.
That's probably true. But let's just look through her eyes for a minute. Let's just look through the other person's eyes for a minute and what is driving them. What's driving them to behave that way?
Well, we have no way of knowing what's driving them to behave that way.
No, they
have.
No.
Was it love?
No.
It's fear.
Oh, it's not love.
She said
in this book you don't have a big menu.
Call for love.
It's love, or it's a call for love, wishing you had love. That you can understand about her. You don't like how she did it.
That's true.
But when everything was going right, when you guys met on week one, things were pretty good. You know why? Because you were each looking for the positive in each other. You were each leaning in and overlooking the bumps and smoothing it out, opening doors for each other, making time for each other, bending so that you did 1 + 1 = 3, and it was great. And somehow that wasn't there when she kicked you in the balls. So it's simple, isn't it? The love was missing. The comfort was missing. Right. That's enough.
It's not always that simple because, you know, like with my brother, I really don't think that he may not be aware that he's doing what he's doing.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's why I say you need to find something, anything in common with him.
Yeah.
You can't know what somebody else is thinking, and that's never our job in A Course in Miracles.
Because everybody acts according to what they think is right.
That's right. What we're working with is what you think is right.
Yeah.
That's our job at A Course in Miracles. And when you can see in the other person something honestly similar to you, the Holy Spirit will translate for you eventually everything about them. Even though you never say what they said or do what they did. Your motivations is for love. Your motivation is to be happy.
It just seems to me like when you talk about cry for love, I mean, that can get you into a whole, like, intellectual trap where you try and, like, see something that may not be there. That's what I'm trying to say. So what you're talking about, though, there's, like, some sort of spark, like a little spark, like life.
Yes, life, like
and
life.
And you can connect to that.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, because that's true, Mark. That part's true. When we start putting stories on, they said this because, now you're back in the ego, forget about it.
Yeah.
That's not true. They don't even know why they said it. So how could you not forget it? The spark, however, that they get hungry and they have to sleep is true. And they get irritable when they don't. And they get sad. If it goes on too long, they don't even get irritable anymore. They just get sad. That looks like I may never get to sleep. Damn it.
And I think my ego's not letting me talk to her now.
Yep.
But it's just hurting me.
Yes. Yes, you're hurting you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You may never talk to her again. How many people have a relationship that ended you never did speak again? Ryan gets that drama. You know, so for all that time, you were just hurting yourself because the relationship was over, and that's fine. This book and this teaching, you're not required to make lovey-lovey amends with everybody or anybody. This is about you.
I don't want to be wrong about that. I mean,
yes,
I don't want to, like, I'm trying to forgive her every day. I say, you know, I forgive her.
Robert,
no.
She's trying to forgive you. That's why she wants to be friends.
Forgive me for what?
Who knows? You don't have to answer that. She wants you guys to somehow be friends.
That's the other ball.
She doesn't want the stain in the relationship. Hey, you get it, right? You get that now. Because it's what you would like. Not even though you may never do it, because you're disgusted.
It's just disgusting.
You've been, I mean, kicking the balls.
I'm not disgusted. I'm hurt, and she's still hurting me, so I don't want to go near her.
So you don't want to go near her, right? So it may never happen. So if there's any pain that's going to happen tonight or tomorrow regarding her, it's because of you, not because of her.
And I've been reading, like, Wayne Dyer book, and then he's, like, saying no resentment, there's no justified resentment, and it's not as easy as it sounds.
I did not say easy.
Yes. Oh, it's a cakewalk.
Yeah.
Robert, I think that she feels bad because she knows that you are a great guy, and she feels bad, and she wants to feel like she shouldn't be feeling so bad about herself, because if you come back and say, it's okay, we can be friends, she can forgive herself for messing up your relationship.
Maybe, right? So,
maybe.
But look, in this book, we don't think about what she's thinking. No. Because that is a rat hole that is endless. Because somebody else has another opinion. And No.
You just need to forgive yourself for thinking that she had anything to do with why you're hurt in the first place. Because it's all coming from you out, not from her in. It's all your perception.
Not a girl. That's what you're actually living with. Yes.
Yeah, but it's what happened. You know, it's.
It is. We'll get there. But it's how you interpreted it in your own mind.
Yeah.
Is how it happened.
Well, she's been at this for 5-6 years now. Kim's been through hell. She has been through hell. With what you're talking about. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And so she's come around with what she just said is from her healed mind. She's able to take responsibility, and she stood up out of the fire and walked away. You're not ready for that. But she's telling you what happens. She's telling you, you can look at her face. This is look of freedom.
There's a period of time you just have to hurt. Because you just can't find your way out of it. You just have to hurt
and just keep committed
to healing.
That's human. That's human. This book is radical. This is radical stuff, Robert.
It's just real raw right now. I'm a bus driver for Metro.
Yeah.
You might see me out there everywhere driving. And one day she sent me a text. This is raw still. It just happened 2.5 months ago.
All right.
And she's still trying to.
All right.
And well, I'll be doing good for 4 days in a row. Yep. I'm like, all right, I'm getting better.
Yeah, Robert, I'm going to stop you there. We have all our different stories about this.
It ruins my whole day.
I get it. It ruins your whole day.
One little test.
So you know what?
I let it ruin my whole day.
It's worth healing so that doesn't happen for 3-4 years. Did I say 3 or 4? 30 or 40, some of you?
Thank you.
Yeah.
There's a section in the book called This Need Not Be. And it doesn't have to be that way. Yeah. It doesn't have to be that way. So welcome. Welcome to A Course in Miracles. Mm-hmm. This is where we fix that stinking thinking that you are suffering with. But I get it. It's wrong.
Andrew?
Yes.
Quick observation.
Yes.
Something I've noticed, like a trend that seems to be that a lot of these people that we are talking about are trying to dominate us in some way.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just kind of struggling, or not struggling, but thinking about, I'm curious where you're taking us tonight.
Yes.
Down the road of acceptance versus down the road of protecting oneself.
Uh-huh.
So when someone's trying to psychically, spiritually, psychologically dominate us.
Yes.
To make them feel superior or to flex their judging muscle.
Yes.
Or whatever.
You bet.
Okay.
Yes.
So I just hear a lot of like, oh, I got to accept it, I got to live with it. I personally am finding myself more and more to protecting myself and blocking those leeches.
What do I say when somebody swings a 2x4 toward you with a nail sticking out of the end? What do you do?
Duck.
That's what I wanted to get out here, because if somebody's screwing with you or jacking you around or doesn't,
now
you know,
somebody swang a 2x4 right at you. My considered A Course in Miracles advice is duck.
Mm. Yeah, now, in other words, he doesn't ever have to get back with her because he needs to duck. But he can be at total peace no matter what decision you make.
Right.
Now, what does it mean that person swung a 2x4 right at you? Now that's work for Course in Miracles.
Yeah. It doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything!
Thank you.
It doesn't mean anything!
Because you give everything you see all the meaning it has for you.
That's lesson number one, and then lesson number two in this book, and there's 365. That's the truth, and that's the way out of the ego.
Yeah, I started doing the workbook again, and you know, I'm on lesson 4.
All right.
I think what it's in those first few lessons, and this relates to what you're saying, is that it's training you to be able to let go of your thoughts and just see some things, ideas, thoughts, whatever, for what they are. Like you hear somebody say, "No, it's just a word." You don't think about it like, oh, no means that I have to lead my life this way. And yeah, it just
story comes just out of that one word.
It's like that sort of Zen detachment where you can kind of like center yourself and just kind of like have like a sort of a dispassionate look at things.
Yes.
Not get emotionally wrapped up.
Yes.
Not let your thoughts get wrapped up with everything.
Don't let the ego come in and tell you a bunch of stories about the facts that don't mean anything. You will go for an ego ride. The Course calls it an ego alien journey with the ego as the guide. That means the ego alien, meaning it doesn't know what it's doing. And yet it's driving, it's guiding. What a disaster. That's what those four lessons are about. You got it. It's very Zen. It's very Buddhist. It's very present. It's very detached.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very freeing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very ego-busting.
Because there's a moment where I notice when I do those lessons.
Yes.
Where it's like I look at something, and for a moment, like I look at a picture, and it's just a wood and glass and shapes and light coming off.
Yes.
And then my mind starts to go, oh, well, you know, I bought that in Hawaii and, you know, it was a lovely day and, you know, it's such a, you know, I like that one better than the other one, you know, and that's all laid on top of that moment when you just like, there's nothing.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a very, almost an eerie feeling.
Yes.
Where you kind of like, it's like, there's like a void almost.
Yes.
You drop down into the sense of like, almost of nothingness where there's really nothing there.
It's really nothing.
And you can just kind of see things as they are. I think that's what the point of those lessons are.
Yes, absolutely. Let go of all those judgments and stories and colors from your past. So you can just see something as it is now.
Yeah.
What a freeing way to be. What a way to pull the truth out. That's why all these people, so far, we haven't got to Zoe yet.
Yes, you have. I can identify.
There is something in the present going on with that person that you also honestly share. If you just take away all the problems you have with them, you do meet. What's something you share with this person in your life?
Well, my son is 42, and I used to call him my tormentor. And then as I evolved, I called him my mentor. And our relationship has really gone through a radical change. The more I look at myself. He's angry, he's afraid, he's controlling, he's domineering, just like Mom.
Nice. Yes.
So now, every time when he would call me with the problem, I thought it was my job to solve the problem.
You're a mother, after all.
Yeah, but I'm not that way anymore. When I started asking, well, what are you going to do about that? It was really cool.
That's a big shift.
But anyway, so he wanted me to fly down to Petsit for his Mastiff dog and two other little ones, right? And I'm, you know, and I'm thinking, oh my God, it's going to be a nightmare, you know. So anyway, but I wanted, out of love, to. I knew it was important. And so I decided to go. But then we came to the negotiation about the money. You know, well, are you willing to pay for my flight? And then he overreacted at the first communication we had. And then it got down to the point a couple of days ago. I thought, you know, well, money's kind of tight for me right now. And, you know, so we're egos. We're battling about the money. And so I called him the other day and I said, you know, I want to get the exact dates, but I said, are you willing to pay for my flight? He went ballistic. And here's what happened that I loved. I said, oh gosh, I says, I think we're in the same shape. Money's tight for me right now, and I'm afraid. And I really don't have any extra right now. But then I said, I understand why you got angry, because you're feeling pressured about your own money problems. And what I got is all the things that I always get upset with him about is he just mirrors me.
Very good. Very good. And he knows that he has a place to mirror himself with you. Because you guys do this dance. You recognize the dance? Probably over and over again. And it's become a comforting, what looks like a fight, is really a rehearsal of fears. Very common in a special relationship. It can actually bind people together. Let's now jump into the book on page 433. and see why I asked you to do this exercise. In the text, and for the new people, the book, the numbers start over several times. This is the first time it says 433 in the front of the book.
Go for it again. Just like last time.
Yeah. Christopher, would you read for us?
Sure.
Paragraph 5.
The sinless?
Yep.
The sinless give as they received. See then the power of sinlessness within your brother, and share with him the power of the release from sin you offered him. To each who walks this earth in seeming solitude is a Savior given, whose special function here is to release him, and so to free himself. In the world of separation, each is appointed separately, though they are all the same. Yet those who know that they are all the same need not salvation. And each one finds his Savior when he is ready to look upon the face of Christ and see him sinless.
So important is this exercise. This brother, this difficult person that you're having, this is your block to the awareness of love's presence. If you hold on to the judgments and see only the differences, you keep separation intact. Of Course in Miracles doesn't say change that person or change your relationship. It says change how you think about it and watch the magic. Watch your heart start to open. I hope everybody here, your heart opened even just the smallest amount. If not for you and your story, then for her and her story, or him and his story. And you thought, you know what? Maybe they are a little closer than they thought they were. This is very important, because we're not asking you to change the world and what they said. You may never see that girl again. That's not a problem. In fact, it's probably a real freedom for both of you. No problem there. Let you be free, though, to love again. Let you be free to get a good night's sleep. Let you be free to find somebody where you have a balanced conversation and you actually share. And the two of you, every time you meet, you can't get off the phone because it's so much fun. Let that happen. But I'll tell you, as long as you're feeling guilty about staying on the phone, you'll probably stay on the phone. That's the dance you're doing, see? You two are dancing. You two are dancing. You two are dancing. You two are dancing. We're two are dancing. Keeping it real.
It's like a symbiotic relationship.
Symbiotic, codependent, you take your pick. Okay? Now, I'll tell you. The next paragraph, I hesitate to jump forward so fast, but it informs so nicely the one we just read. I do think we just spent some really good time on paragraph 5 going around the room, right?
Yes.
Okay? The sinless give as they've received. Sinless means the not separated. Sinless means the whole-minded. Sinless means the healed mind gives as they receive. Do not hesitate. If your mind is healed, sharing is really automatic. Okay? See then the power of the sinlessness within your brother. Keyword now. And share with your brother the power of the release from sin that you offered him. Do you see the circle? When you allow this commonality to occur, you start to release them from being so very bad. And now you feel it in you, because you've been holding this darkness over yourself. You're living with the darkness. Who knows what she's thinking? But I know what you're thinking. So you start to relieve. A little bit of light now enters what was only dark. That makes a big difference. That you receive, see, from you. Do you see the circle? To each who walks this earth in seeming solitude is a Savior given, whose special function here is to release him and so to free himself.
Savior equals as Holy One.
Yes.
Okay.
Each of you to the other, mm-hmm. become the door to escape the prison. The perfect teacher has arrived. In the world of separation, each is appointed separately. Each of them got their own deal, their own thoughts, their own struggle. Don't try to figure the other person out. We're just working with you. They will help you figure you out as you release them from being evil. In the world of separation, each is appointed separately, though they all are the same. In that you will see, as you start to awaken and see the commonalities that all problems have, you'll start to see they're all the same. Yet those who know that they are all the same, well, they don't need salvation. They don't need a fix because they don't see the problem. And each one finds his Savior when he's ready, when you're ready. And I think with this book and tonight's meeting, maybe you're a little more ready to take this lesson that you've been resisting and start to put a little light where there's been only darkness. And that darkness can stay for years. No need. There's no need. We're talking about freeing you, not freeing them or your relationship together. That's not the goal. The goal is freeing you. Because you're carrying this burden. You keep carrying it. And therefore you keep manifesting it. That's you. That's not them. That's you. That's you.
The thoughts in your own mind.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How do you get rid of them?
Hey, Wolf, there's a book right in front of you. Start at page one. Call me when you're done. Okay, now. That's so cruel, isn't it?
But
you know what? But you know what? There is. I mean, if it was just one sentence, you would be on the billboard on how
he wants to walk out of this room tonight feeling better.
What's wrong with that? That's
honestly
a good thing.
Me too.
I've been reading a lot of stuff. I've been talking to a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think I'm doing good, and then boom, I go back to the law.
Okay, well, right in your lap. That's how you do it. If you wanted to know.
This is hard to understand.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So is the let go of your ego.
The reason why you're having trouble is because you're relying on your own mind to get you out of a trap.
Yes. Yes. That's Mark, bottom line.
Back.
Thank you, Mark. Yeah. Thank you, Mark. That's truth. It's an ugly truth. Okay? And each one finds his Savior, the Ass Holy One, is seen as their Savior when he's ready to look upon the face of Christ and see the capital H, him, sinless, which means the same, without separation. That's the healed mind. That's the way out. Now, check it out. Dave, would you read for us paragraph 6? How do you do this? What happens? How does this all work?
This is what Mark was just saying. It's not up to...
But you're the reason why there's a problem. So where's the solution? Go for it.
Plan is not of you, nor need you be concerned with anything except the part that has been given you to learn. For he who knows the rest will see to it without your help.
And the he who in capital letters, who's that?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Where's the Holy Spirit?
In you.
Yeah, high five! Okay, fist bump! I told you our teacher showed up, didn't I? I'm slowing down for him, and he's like, let's go.
Well, right. Not much I've figured out.
Good job. It's true. Let's continue.
You have to believe it, though.
Well, that helps.
For he who knows the rest will see to it without your help. But think not that he does not need your part to help him with the rest.
For in your part lies all of it, without which is no part complete, nor is the whole completed without your part.
And what that says is that this will not be done for you by some power outside of you that would make you a victim. Again, you say, I want to be a victim of somebody who saved my ass. But no, because of what you actually are, nothing will control you. You are free. You are an extension of the Creator, and you are free. And you must forever remain free through pain or through joy. You must remain free. So that's why this is for your part is so important. Yes?
Is free in this aspect choice?
Yes. Yes?
So I'm free to choose.
Choice is your power.
Okay.
You must exercise your power. Nobody chooses for you.
Okay.
No freebies. But you get free guidance.
Yeah. The guidance is for free, but you still have to take the step.
You have that's that little willingness that
you
have to do.
And you will live a unique life of love because of your choices.
Or not.
Or you'll live hell. You'll live out of hell, which is what you've been busy with lately.
Yeah.
Okay, let's continue.
The Ark of Peace is entered two by two, yet the beginning of another world goes with them. Each holy relationship must enter here to learn its special function in the Holy Spirit's plan. Now that it shares his purpose, and as this purpose is fulfilled, the new world rises in which sin can enter not, and where the Son of God can enter without fear, and where he rests a while to forget imprisonment and to remember freedom.
Okay, that is the perspective of the world that we call the happy dream. When you see the similarities like we're hinting at tonight, you set aside the differences even for a moment, and you start to return to the spirit of life that's been going on here. You've been looking for differences and finding them, and then following the laws of the world to enforce them. And that will continue if that's what you look for. But your Savior shows up when you see what you have in common and say, well, that's true. I don't really know why she said what she said, or why she said what she said, or why he did what he did. He, according to this book, he doesn't know either. All we know is that he was not feeling loved at that time. Well, that I get. You're returning to the truth as you let loose the differences. This is for you, not for them.
I get it, and that's what's killing me right now, because I know I have to see commonality.
Yes.
Because I know that, like, with Kim, it's like, if you have separateness, it hurts you. Get that.
Yep.
That person's such an asshole.
Can I say something?
Please.
What helped me, I think, which was a turning point for me, was when I understood that we, every single human being on the planet, is on a spiritual path. We're not all on the same spiritual path, but we're all looking for the love within ourselves. And it's scary when we don't know what that is, and we don't know what it looks like. And when I understood that the same light in me is also in this person that I thought hurt me so deeply, and the other person that he's with now hurt me so deeply, when I understood the same light in me is also in them, and they are on their own spiritual path, and they did not mean to hurt me, it just happened along the way. Mm-hmm. That was the turning point for me.
Yes.
To having them not have the power over me. And they didn't have the power. I gave them the power to hurt myself.
Yes.
And it didn't have that power anymore. It was gone, because I realized we both are all part of the same light.
Yes.
On the same path.
And that became,
yes,
true. and the story you had before became false.
Yes.
The same situation now. You didn't go back and change what he said or what he did. None of that changed. You saw it differently. And that's what a miracle is in this book. A shift in perception so you can release all that weight.
I would say that she stopped giving meaning to what had happened or what she thought that person did.
Yes.
Because she realized she didn't know what that person did.
And the people who said the ego is the problem, you bet. Ego gives all that meaning, loads up a story, and decides that that must be true. And it's really worth punishing if you ever had the chance.
And I also had to stop trying to forgive that person, because that doesn't work, because it's a lie. And I also had to let myself not feel like I had to love them because they're another human being and another spiritual being on a path to God. I don't have to. I just need to let them go.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The Course in Miracles is a very short sentence that is so true, it must be spoken, and that is, your brother is always right, comma, but his ego is always wrong. You're not going to love that ever. But your brother is always right. Do you see the distinction we're making? Thank you, Kim. It's beautifully said. We have to understand there's parts of the ego that are not lovable. It doesn't want to be loved. Forget it. We're trying to wake up to the spirit of your brother. And that is always right, because it's always looking for love. Always looking for love, just like you. Yes, good. Thank you. Well said. Yes. Let's continue.
Okay, where was I?
We'll start back with the Ark of Peace.
Okay.
The Ark of Peace.
The Ark of Peace is entered 2x2. Yet the beginning of another world goes with them. Each holy relationship must enter here to learn its special function in the Holy Spirit's plan. Now that it shares his purpose. And as its purpose is fulfilled, a new world rises in which sin can enter not, and where the Son of God can enter without fear, and where he rests a while. To forget imprisonment and to remember freedom. How can he enter to rest and to remember without you? Except you be there. He is not complete, and it is his completion that he remembers here.
Do you see the dance now? The dance that all of us had as we went around the world, the room, was the dance of separation, where as long as the two of you were fighting, separation was kept. Now, with the Holy Spirit's interpretation, and key word now, the innocence that you now see in what they were doing and what they continue to do. When you see that innocence now, and you understand that they are calling for happiness, just like you would, and do. Now you're starting to bend back together, even though you may never see her again. But in your heart, you're joining again. In your understanding of the innocence, you are joining again. That's the Holy Spirit's job, is to reinterpret what you see as separate and show you the sameness. So let's have a circle.
Innocence is that you don't... But they're not doing it on purpose. They're not doing it maliciously. They're not even probably conscious of anything.
That's right.
So okay.
That's right. They are innocent and they just want to be happy, just like you.
Almost sounds like it's about.
You know, when we get together here, there's a certain pressure that's in our lives, and you have to relieve that pressure one way or the other. And we have a newbie tonight, Robert. And he's got a very physical pressure he went to go relieve. So I'm just saying all this to kill time because he asked me to. But isn't it true anyway?
Got to adapt.
We have a pressure. We have our part. Our stinking thinking, building up pressure. the way to relieve this pressure and the darkness of the world is to actually see your part in it. Tonight, we're asking for a surrender, right? It's the last thing you want to do is find a similarity in somebody else with somebody you're having a problem with. But I'll tell you, as long as you leave those differences in place, and these are hard words to hear, but I'm telling you, this is the fast way. Not only are you blocking love in your life, they are innocent. Your brother is always right. They're searching for love. Maybe they're doing a terrible job of it, but they aren't innocent for how they're doing it. Be careful now, because in your life, if you're not loving, if you're not looking for the love that we saw each of us carefully and was hard-earned to find some connection, some love we could possibly see in the other person, if you are not reaching for the love, you're looking for murder. There's no neutral. There's no neutral, folks. You know that's true. What is it you're doing with your life? How is it you're going to call on the Holy Spirit's help to find love if you're holding on to murderous thoughts? We're here to bust the ego. I hope you would choose love any possible way you could, because then you'll have love and you'll have it to give. Thank you, thank you. Amen. Amen. Thanks, everybody.
No compromise.